The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It is Monday. We're just a few days away from traveling to the far-off distant land called Tampa and Orlando. We're going to be in concert on Friday and Saturday. You can go to glenbeck.com/tour and check out the tickets and grab your tickets because it's a lot of fun in Tampa and Orlando this Friday and Saturday. Okay, on the podcast today, we start with Jim Acosta on the caravan. Because, you know,
what
that
caravan?
Whole...
What are you talking about? There's no caravan. They're not coming. They're not an invading force. They're not going to be climbing fences.
Yeah.
You're hundreds of miles away.
So the whole thing that Jim Acosta was talking about that got him kicked out of the White House was that the caravan, you're just hyping this. There's nobody coming, and they're not going to climb walls. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable, the coverage. Also, Ukraine, Poland, riots in France. Why is that? Brexit. Pat stops by and joins us for a little talk on that. We also talk a little bit about the new Google product, seeing that it is Cyber Monday. Oh, some really exciting stuff happening there.
Yeah. If you want your home to be incredibly creepy, they've got some great options
for
you.
They've got great. You know, very much like China has. We talk about the Chinese social score as well. It's a great show. Don't want to miss a second. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Monday, November 26th.
Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, they give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
Glenn Beck.
Yesterday, after we were told by the press that this was not going to happen, this was not, that Donald Trump was just juicing the election, that these migrants would never arrive here. Yesterday, an estimated 1,000 migrants from the infamous migrant caravan stormed the border like invaders. They threw rocks and bottles at U.S. border agents. In response, our agents fired tear gas at the crowd, which gave the media the drama they have been craving. So they could write lines like this from the Associated Press. Quote, children screamed and coughed in the mayhem of the tear gas. End quote. The headline might as well have been, Evil America Tear Gases Babies. I've told you, I believe I said this on Fox. I know we started to actually predict that this was coming within a year, this spring. What is happening right now is the Palestinian state is being made on our border, and the United States of America will be made into Israel. Yesterday morning, a group of Central Americans who were just fed up with the conditions in the migrant camps in Tijuana held a rally urging the United States to speed up its asylum claims process. Currently, the U.S. is processing 60 to 100 migrant asylum applications per day. However, as the march veered toward the border, around 1,000 people decided to make a break for it. They pushed past a Mexican police blockade and tried to squeeze through wire and scale fences. As a result, the U.S. temporarily closed its border crossings between San Diego and Tijuana. Now, apparently, a lot of the migrants' impatience stems from a pending deal between the U.S. and Mexico over how we're going to deal with the asylum seekers. In the past, asylum seekers have been allowed to remain in the U.S. while their cases are processed in the U.S. courts. However, the Trump administration wants the caravan to stay in Mexico while their cases are processed. Gee, that makes sense, because if we make Mexico do that, maybe Mexico will worry about their own southern border. Yesterday's protesters, they hope to make their asylum case in person to U.S. agents before this potential deal takes effect. Now, it sounds all heart-wrenching, but the fact remains that the 1,000-plus migrants who rushed the border yesterday are trying to expedite the legal process by breaking the law. Sorry. There is no magic wand. There's no solution for an immigration crush like this. Yes, the asylum application process is going to be slow, especially when a mob of 6,000 people show up at the border at the same time. Most other countries would be just as slow or slower, unless they were coming from the Middle East. And we've seen how great that's worked out. Frankly, most countries would close their border and turn this caravan around a long time ago. Here's the truth. America is not heartless, but it is, at least for the time being, still governed by the rule of law. What is it these people are trying to get to America for? I contend the rule of law. Their countries are lawless. We cannot help other people who are trying to escape lawlessness by becoming lawless ourselves. Trying to crash through the border fence is not the way you immigrate to the U.S. It is the way you invade the U.S.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Can we have the Jim Acosta audio? Do you remember when last we spoke, we were still talking about Jim Acosta and what he said to the president and how he was kicked out, et cetera, et cetera. I want you to listen to what he was talking about, because what he was talking about was the migrant crisis.
Yeah, and this is a fascinating thing that's happened, because you had the migrant caravan coming. It was a big deal. And what we heard from the media was not whether this was a danger or whether this was real or what the causes of it were or how we should deal with it. It was Donald Trump is basically just talking about this because of the elections coming up. So they all start covering it. Then right after the election, their coverage goes away. And the only thing they talk about is now that the election's passed, Donald Trump doesn't care about it. Conservative media doesn't care about the caravan. Then this morning, people are talking about the caravan again because there's people running across our border and climbing fences. And what do we get? Do you believe these conservatives? They are still obsessed with this caravan. I thought you said it was only an election issue. I mean, obviously, that's not true if you're complaining about how much they're covering it today.
And you also told us that it wasn't even going to arrive. Listen to Jim Acosta from CNN on the migrant caravan. This is what was forgotten. This is what got him kicked out. Listen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms.
Here we go.
That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
And why did you characterize it as such?
Because I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep...
I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people.
Your campaign...
Wait, You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so
on.
Well, that's true.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors.
Mm.
Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood.
Right.
These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Stop for a second. I just wanted to ask Jim Acosta, who is right here? Who is right here? Because you asked the question and the president told you, well, we have a difference of opinion. And so you started to name your facts. Well, they're hundreds of miles away. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Well, they're here now. You also said they were not going to be climbing walls. Well, they're doing that. So which is it, CNN? Which is it? And if you don't think 1,000 people trying to rush our border is an invasion, what do you call it? People coming here, standing in line, being cool. Yes, it's going to take a while, but I'm going to be cool because I can't go back home. That's not an invasion, but people trying to rush the border, 1,000 of them. And if you think this is the end of it, you're mistaken. This is the beginning. I just want you to understand that this is a Marxist utopia. If you think these, quote, migrants are really ever going to go away, I think you're mistaken. I have this sneaking suspicion that these people are going to be kept in limbo, that these people will be kept in Mexico instead of having Mexico saying, we're not going to have this separate community here. You guys have to go back. They will keep them there, and they will keep them there. Why? Because we will have a new Palestinian state. We will have a new crisis on our hand, and it will be about the U.S. border. And the United States will finally receive the treatment that Israel has been receiving the entire time. And if you don't believe me, read the headlines of how the press covered this. We were gassing babies. No, we were stopping 1,000 people who we have no idea who they were from coming across the border. Now, I understand if you're a mom and you wanted to get your child here. I understand that. But what responsible mother stands in a crowd and chooses the 1,000 that are going to storm the gates? What responsible mother? There is none. There is none. You can say, I'm a responsible mother. I'm a responsible parent. I did make this trip, this migrant. You might not understand it, but things are so bad for me. But you cannot tell me that if that was the situation with you and you were with your children, that you would say, yeah, I'm going to not wait. I'm going to rush the border. You wouldn't do it. You would not do it. No responsible adult would do it. You cannot tell me also on the other side that if you were in Honduras and you were told America's just going to take you and they're going to take your kids and you're going to have a life in America, you cannot tell me if that's what you believed and you knew America had a porous border and they didn't care. You can't tell me you wouldn't go. Especially if it was dangerous in your community because of drugs or whatever. There was no rule of law. You're damn right. I'd get my kids out of Honduras and I'd walk. But I would not rush the border because I would think, well, that really going to hurt my chances. I mean, you want to talk about living in the shadows. That's really going to hurt my chances of getting in legally. I have a legitimate case. I just need to be heard. I'll stand in line here. You know that's what you would do and I would do and any decent person would do. You wouldn't rush the border like that. especially with a baby in your arms. So I am sorry. I am the guy who got my ass kicked by a lot of people for showing compassion to the people on the border. So I am the same guy that says, these are people and we need to have compassion. However, when you cause your own problems, when you're running with your baby to rush a border, to break a law, to hope that you're just going to have the border guard, I don't know, shoot rubber bullets at someone else, I'm sorry. There's a process. You violated it. I can't have sympathy. I can feel bad for you because you're so unbelievably misguided. But I'm sorry, the tears for your plight, no, they don't come. The tears for the plight of your young child because of what you are doing? Yeah, I feel bad for the child. But the child is just with a bad parent, in my humble opinion.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, they give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
I was shocked at the number.
So you only read four pages all year? That's going to be a short...
I know.
Four pages of books?
Four pages just of names of books. But I wanted to bring this up here because there is one that you really need to read. And it is...
Hop on Pop.
The Rise of the Fourth Political Theory by Alexander Dugin.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's because the theory is like, there's capitalism, there's socialism, right? There's fascism.
There's communism, capitalism.
Communism, capitalism, fascism.
Fascism.
And this is the fourth.
He says all three of those fail. We need a fourth. Mm-hmm. And he has the fourth. And when you read it, you will understand what Russia is doing. And it is terrifying. It is literally end of days stuff. He is mixing this. And this is the guy who has designed the Ukrainian or Crimean policy for Putin. He is literally mixing in end of times theology. So he is... And he's not a religious dude, but he knows Russians are. And so he's mixing in the end of days. We have to bring about a global bloodbath to bring about the end of days so we can restart in this new fourth political theory where Russia will rule the world. It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
May I have just a quick point against Alexander Dugin here about capitalism failing?
Yeah.
So an American high school student who works 15 hours a week and makes a minimum wage is among the top 20% of wage earners in the world.
Jeez.
And capitalism's failed? You're telling me it's failed after that? A high school student, again, 15 hours a week, minimum wage, top 20% of wage earners in the world. I mean, you know, again, we are so blessed to live here of all the problems that we have.
We're just throwing it away.
And it's not just throwing it away. It's a lot of people who are intentionally trying to destroy it, like Alexander Dugin.
By the way, speaking of capitalism, I saw this story today and I thought of you, Stu. 40 million people with diabetes will be left without insulin by 2030. They're saying that by 2030, there'll be 79 million adults with type 2 diabetes that are expected to need insulin to manage their condition if current levels of access remain. Only half of them will be able to get an adequate supply. They're projecting that it's going to be a huge growth of type 2 diabetes in Africa and Asia, blah, blah, blah. Well, type 2 diabetes, isn't that because of food?
Yeah,
that's partly caused by overeating.
One of those things that sounds really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I have a lot of faith that the free market will provide the insulin needed.
This is why I said that. We're talking about 10 years from now, 11 years from now, if we know there are going to be 40 million people. You don't think capitalism is going to say we need to up the insulin?
Right. Unless they cure it in another way completely, right. And you don't need insulin anymore.
I love this. To manage the conditions, if current levels of access remain, well, it's not going to because of the capitalist system.
Right.
It will actually decline if you lose the capitalist system.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things they have. There was a study that came out, and it was all over the media the last week or so, that was talking about how scary it was that, you know, cancer now is rising to levels. It's now one of the highest killers. Cancer now the biggest killer in Australia ahead of heart disease. This is a World Health Organization report. Now we go over this. By the way, the tour is happening this week. We're going to Tampa and Orlando. If you want to come join us, glenbeck.com/tour. Love to see
you. Get your tickets now. By the way, we're in Tampa on Friday and then Orlando on Saturday. And I've got a pair of tickets for each of those shows. If you're in Tampa or you want to come to the Tampa or Orlando, call now, 888-727-BECK. You can win a free pair of tickets.
Oh, cool.
So you can come to the show. But make sure you grab your tickets online at glenbeck.com/tour. It's a lot of fun happening this Friday and Saturday, Tampa and Orlando.
Yeah, part of the show, we focus on some of the good things that are happening in the world that we never
They're
hear
stunning.
About. And the cancer rates, we've gone over that. You know, there's so much improvement in that world. It's mind-boggling. And when they dig into this report, what's actually happening is because they're saying it's the biggest killer now in Australia. That sounds terrible. Well, that's because people are living so much longer. They're living essentially long enough to get cancer, right? They're now getting to the point where you don't get cancer. These types of cancer that you don't typically get at 50 years old, and people were dying at 60, so they weren't getting cancer. They were dying of something else. Now they're living to 80 and 90, and they're developing cancer very late in life, and we're acting like it's this tragedy. Well, they just lived an extra 30 years. This is not a negative. This is a positive. And the same thing with the diabetes stuff and obesity. They came out and said that, you know, obesity is now a bigger problem than hunger. We act as if obesity is a problem. If we could get to a point where we all choose to die, that's a great world, right? Where we all have to make bad decisions to die. We don't just die because of things we can't control. If we can get to a point where we all have to choose to be fat, lazy pieces of crap, and that's what eventually causes our death. Now, I hope we don't choose that, of course. But
we will.
But that's a better outcome than, like, you know, the plague.
Yes.
Right? Like, this is
starvation.
Or starvation, which is one of the most brutal ways to die.
Most brutal way to die. So this, you know, there's some really good things that are happening in the world. We just choose not to notice them.
Mm-hmm.
We just choose not to notice them. You know, I've got a couple of books. I'm going to take a quick break and then I'm going to come back and I'm give you some of the highlights of this list I'll post later today. Of the books that I have read that I would recommend. I've read a few others that I would not recommend, but I'll give you some of the books that I've read that I really recommend in different categories. But one of them is, what is it, Enlightenment Now? What is the name of that one by Steven Pinker, Stu?
Yes, I believe that is it.
Hang on. It's, Enlightenment Now by Steven Pinker. That's an amazing book.
Incredible.
It is all about, guys, it's not what you think. It's not what you think. There's another book called It's Better Than It Looks by Greg Easterbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that one?
Parts of it, yeah. Yeah. He's really smart.
He's really great. Yeah. And you look at it and say, wait a minute, it looks really bad. His point is, yes, it does look really bad, but that's because nobody's showing you the rest of the story. And when you start to see how much progress we have made, and you stop concentrating only on our problems, all of a sudden you start to say, wait a minute, let's not throw this away. This is actually really good. This is really good things going on. We're being taught in school, think of this, your children are being taught, America is bad, it's a racist, horrible place, it's nothing but a killing machine, mm-hmm. and capitalism is starving people to death and taking their money. None of those things are true. None of those things are true. Now, you could make the case that those things are true if you leave out the other side of the story. You can equip your kids with some really good stuff about capitalism. But I would suggest that you start with it's Better Than It Looks by Greg Easterbrook.
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, they give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
These are some of the books that I have read in the last year that I highly recommend. I'm in the middle of Kate Morton's The Clockmaker's Daughter. This is kind of a search through history. This woman in present day England, she is working at a conservatory, and she opens up, I think it's a satchel, some sort of a satchel, and she has to catalog everything. And she's captivated by a picture that is in there. She remembers that in a story that her mother used to tell, but she thought that this was a story that was just her mother's story. So how did this picture of this old house get in there? It's exactly what she saw. So she starts this investigation, and it goes back about 100 years, and you see what is happening. And I don't know how it ends yet, but it's a lot of fun, especially if you're like, you know, history hunts. It's just a really good story. There is a book called White Rose, Black Forest, which I read, I think, in the spring and loved this book. This one is about an Allied soldier, World War II, and he has to fly in and parachute into the Black Forest all by himself. And he's going in as a German soldier. He has to kill one guy on a certain date. He's going to be in a certain place. He's got to kill him. Well, he goes in and something happens to his chute. I can't remember exactly, but he lands in the forest. And I think he breaks either one or I think maybe both of his legs. And he passes out, and he's out in the snow at night in the Black Forest. Well, this woman, this German woman who lives in a cabin there in the forest, she happens to, you know, be walking in the forest. You know, but he doesn't know that she was going actually to kill herself that night. She sees him unconscious. She takes care of him and then drags him back to the cabin where she nurses him back to health. Well, he's trapped and he can't move because of his legs. What she can't tell him is that she's anti-Nazi and her biggest foe is the head of the SS in her small little town. And they've just destroyed her family and she hates the Nazis and that's why she was going to kill herself. But she can't say this because he's a German soldier. But she starts to realize, I don't think he's a German soldier.
Hmm.
He can't tell her, I'm not a German soldier. So it's this game back and forth the whole time, this mental game, and how it ends is just, it's fantastic. That is called The White Rose, Black Forest. Robert Harris wrote a book, if you're into tech and see what's coming, he wrote a book called The Fear Index. It's a novel. It's great. It starts with a murder in Geneva. This guy was working for CERN, and he had this theory that he could make an AI that could predict, you know, habits. And he used as an example, it could predict the stock market and it could actually make money. So this guy from Wall Street comes in and says, hey, I want to hire you for this. I want you to build this for me. And so he does. Well, it turns out that he actually creates AI, and then it starts to move into AGI, and its goal is to make money. Well, don't fear the machine, fear the goals. Its goal is to make money. It now is taking on a life of its own, and it is piling money in. But like, plane crashes are happening just after the stock is dumped, and it's no one's in charge of it. They can't seem to shut it down. They don't know if they want to shut it down. As the guy starts to figure things out, now he's smeared in the press. He's set up. Is this a person? Is this AI? It's a fantastic story.
There's some crazy audio from Elon Musk we should get to today on AI, where he's talking about, I mean, he's absolutely in this world, and you've talked about him as, you know, being very skeptical of how this is happening. He's seemingly making major moves to try to make sure that we do it.
Oh, no, he is.
And do it, hopefully, ethically. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's he started a huge foundation to do it, but he doesn't believe it'll be done, nor do I. You can't put this genie back in the bottle, and somebody somewhere is going to go, I wonder what would happen, you know?
Right.
And that's the Robert Harris book. Mm. Also, the new Dan Brown book that came out this year, Origin, that's along the same vein, and it's really, really good. If you know somebody that is into history, there's a few things that I highly recommend. The new Reagan book by Bob Spitz, we just had him on as a podcast over the weekend. Listen to that podcast. It's fantastic. Even my kids enjoyed this podcast. Really great. Really great podcast. Great book called Reagan by Bob Spitz. He went in and he was not a fan. He's a guy, he's done the Beatles, think the Stones. I can't remember. He's got a long list of, he writes the ultimate biography of people. And he,
Springsteen too. Didn't he do Springsteen?
I'm not sure.
He worked with Springsteen.
He writes these books, the people that change culture and, are deeply loved by a group of people. The only person he said, he was with his wife and he was like, who can I write about next? And she said, Reagan. And he said, absolutely not. He didn't like Reagan at all, but he decided that half the country loved him. There has to be something. And so he went and he started to track him. And he met with people that have never been interviewed before in his hometown that knew him and his family. He went in and he had access to Reagan's personal papers. They're not even in the library. Okay. They're his personal papers. One other author has had access to these, but he left them sealed. And the things that he found in those papers, just awesome. And he understood and really began. He loves Reagan now. Still says, I disagree with his policies, but I love this guy. Mm. It's a great, great book. Another one called Defying Hitler. This was actually, this is an unfinished book. It just stops towards the end of it. It is the best history book on Germany I have ever seen. The reason why it stopped is the guy escaped from Germany, came over here, became one of the leading authors and leading authorities on Hitler himself. He was writing it in Germany as a missive to the West, saying, look, you don't understand our history. You don't understand what's happening. You don't understand what he's doing and how this is affecting even my friends. Pay attention. It is fascinating. It's called Defying Hitler. Another book that I read over the summer by Thomas Cahill is How the Irish Saved Civilization. I don't even know why I picked this up, but I picked this book up and I loved it. You will, because of the way Ireland was, a lot of the books when Europe was burning were taken to Ireland and left in Ireland. So a lot of the knowledge of that should have been lost was preserved by the Irish. But also the whole story of St. Patrick, I couldn't find any snakes. But do you know what he did drive out of Ireland? Slavery. He was a slave who was captured, I think, in Great Britain. And the Irish were horrible slave owners. And they would just come and they would just capture people and they would take them and they'd sell them into slavery. Well, St. Patrick, he escapes one night just because he heard the voice of God and he just walked. He walks all the way across Ireland, gets to a ship. Providence kicks in. He goes back to England. He never wants to have anything to do with the Irish again. And he's prompted, you got to go back. And so he starts changing people's hearts one town at a time, one church at a time in Ireland. It's a great, great story. A couple of other real quick. If you're interested in tech, The TechWise Family by Andy Crouch is a great book. This is for if you're thinking, what do I do? How do I protect my family? The TechWise Family. Far as AI, ASIAGI, Our Final Invention by James, I think it's Barrett, is really good. There are three of them here that are really, really good that are I think are must reads if you want to understand what's coming. Our Final Invention. Then Max Tegmark wrote Life 3.0. And then Brett King wrote Augmented. All three of those are really good. And I think it's Life 3.0 that talks about the industries of the future that will survive. Then one more category, and I've got a lot more books, but I'll post them all online. This is just real quick highlights. In the social sciences, how to win friends and influence people. I started reading that. I started reading that again. I read that when I was a kid. I started reading that again. That is the book on how to win. This is the book on how to bring America back together. This is the best thing I have read in a long time, far as solutions, how to win friends and influence people. Ben Sasse book, Them, really good. Yuval Harari, this is a frightening book, but you will understand how leadership around the world. This is a very respected guy, respected by global leaders. Everybody reads his book, who's anybody. This one has some truly frightening things in it. The way he just looks at the world and you get an insight on what's coming. It's called 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. You may not agree with the lessons that he wants to give, but you should know them because this is the direction of the world. 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. Then real quick, The Coddling of the American Mind by Greg Lukianoff and Crisis of Responsibility by David Banson. There's more on these lists, and we'll give you the complete list at glennbeck.com. We'll have that posted later today at glennbeck.com.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
There's some new patents that have just been issued to Google that is really, it's quite interesting. Patents tell us Google is developing smart home products that are capable of eavesdropping on us throughout our home in order to learn more about us and better target us with advertising. It goes much further than the current Google Home speaker that is promoted to answer our questions and provide useful information. And the Google-owned Nest thermostat that measures environmental conditions in our home. It now comes with a microphone.
You don't have to walk over there and turn the little dial
thing. That's exactly right.
Or go on your phone, which you could also do.
Now, what the patents describe are sensors and cameras mounted in every room to follow us and analyze what we're doing throughout our home. They describe in these patents how the cameras can even recognize the images on a person's T-shirt. And if it's a movie star or a singer, it will alert the person. Hey, by the way, did you know that person is in a new movie? Oh, by the way, you want tickets to their concert? It also connects to the person's browsing history. One patent reads, according to embodiments of this disclosure, a smart home environment may provide with smart device environment policies that use smart devices to monitor activities within the smart device environment, then report on these activities and provide smart device control based on these activities. So they're monitoring us and reporting back on what we're doing.
Sounds great.
It will be in your home. Soon. So that's exciting.
We've had Charlie Warzel on before. He's a reporter for BuzzFeed that talks about, you know, he's a technology reporter.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the new Facebook thing that they've just released, which is basically like a screen with a camera that you're kind of just like, it's kind of like an Alexa with a camera and a screen almost.
Mm-hmm.
And he called it an in-home panopticon, which if you know, if you've ever been to Eastern State Penitentiary in Philly, you know this, but it's like, you know, it was an old style.
I didn't know that's where that was.
Yeah, that's where that one is, at least.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
But they did, it's a fascinating place to go watch because it was an old style design of a prison.
It was actually deemed cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm. So they had to stop using it. But the idea was, everything you do all the time is always seen.
So all of the cells were made like in a what is this, the Apple the new Apple building that's a circle.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's a giant circle. The prison is a giant circle, and all of the cells are facing the center of that circle.
Mm-hmm.
The guard stands in the center of that circle on every floor, and so they can watch everybody at all times. And so it was great for the prison. It was deemed cruel and unusual punishment because you had no privacy. So for somebody to say, oh, Facebook's just released a panopticon is cruel and unusual punishment.
It was not meant as a compliment.
Yeah.
But it's true. We don't even, you know, his point in the story, which I thought was interesting, was Facebook gets a good amount of heat from the media and from consumers about being creepy, right? Like they're doing stuff that's creepy. It weirds us out, but we do nothing about it. We don't actually care. We keep saying we care. We don't actually care. So think about Facebook, who's in the middle of not only all the stuff that they dealt with the elections and all of that, but all the privacy stuff. All of the you know, mistakes and all of that they've been dealing with for multiple years. And in the middle of that environment, they introduce for consumers a screen and camera for you to talk to in every room in your home all the time and expect it to be well received. And it seems to be. I mean, that is we are.
Why is China spending so much money themselves building this system when we are building it for them? So in case you don't know, the social credit monitoring system in China in all Beijing citizens in 2020 will have this. And it is it monitors 22 million citizens in 2020. It's going to be nationwide. It's supposed to turn on in 2020. But they have already started it with, I think, 22 million. And it monitors everything. Mm-hmm. And if you get great social credit, if you're talking to the right people online, if you're shopping at the right stores, if you're, you know, paying your bills on time, you know, if you're not jaywalking, all of that, you're not talking harshly to others, all of that goes into your social media score. And when you have a social media score, if it's in the green zone, you're great. Mm-hmm. But if it's in the yellow zone, which already 11 million people, 11 million.
And that's just flights. It's 11 million people who have been blocked from booking flights. 4 million high-speed train trips have been blocked. Over 3 million just upgrades. So you want to go and you want to be in business class? No, you can't. Your social score isn't good enough. Again, they've just done this. This is a small scale. It's not going to be fully unearthed until 2020 and 2021. But and they're going to have everybody in the middle of the system. Listen to this quote, Glenn. When they're going to blacklist you, they have the people they choose and say that are untrustworthy citizens will, quote, be unable to move even a single step, end quote, according to the government's plan. This is what they're admitting to. If you are on their blacklist, you can't move a single step.
And by the way, there's no way to fight this if you're Chinese. You get it. You're on the list. Doesn't matter. By the way, it's going to monitor if you're giving blood donations, because that's what a good citizen does. Mm-hmm. You're living a healthy lifestyle. Are you eating and exercising? Are you volunteering? Or do you do volunteer work? Because that's what a good citizen does. If you violate traffic laws, smoke or drink or speak poorly about the government, that's what a bad citizen does.
Yeah. And what they're saying, you know, because... how can you ever tell, right? Like when you're saying something that pisses off an authoritarian government, it's almost impossible. And what they think it's going to do is, yeah, a lot of people are going to get burned by this, but the larger scale of it is people will just be so uninvolved in politics because they're terrified that their daily lives will be destroyed, that they just won't pay attention at all and stay out of it no matter what. And what was they talked about the United States being a government that can only work with a moral and engaged people, mm-hmm. right? It's the exact opposite. They want to create an entire population that is completely disengaged so that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want.
Well, I think that works out fine here, too, because that's what's happening to us. We're so tired of this. We'd gladly give up a bit of our freedom for somebody just to take this and handle it so we don't have to worry about it anymore. That's what they're creating.
Yeah.
That's what they're creating.
And we have a thirst for it.
Oh, yeah. Look at the Cyber Monday specials today. You'll see right at the top of the list, you can get an Amazon Echo for $24 now. $24.
Yeah, the Echo Dot, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
by the way, that's a pretty good price.
I know. Don't put it in your house. You go Amazon, yeah, roll the dice. Google, do not put it in your house. Don't get an Android. Don't put Google in your house. Do not put Google in your house.
Android is the most popular.
Don't do it.
I mean, I just don't know how you live life without that anymore. I honestly don't know how you get around.
I use Google. I use the Google search, which is enough. Not Chrome. I don't use any other Google product that I know of.
A Google search, you're right, is enough.
A Google search is enough, but it's not putting it in my home. Do not allow Google Nest to be put into your home.
Well, I have to change the temperature in my upstairs.
I know it's so hard to do, isn't it? You're willing to sacrifice reporting on how you have your temperature gauge set and a microphone in that thing. You're willing to just give away that right because I don't want to walk upstairs and turn that down.
It's so far. I mean, several steps to get there.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.